You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Wednesday, April the 14th. I am your host, Mike. Joining me, as he does each and every Wednesday, the Miami Dolphins 2020 Fan of the Year and a credentialed media member, I guess, a Miami Dolphins insider, a big mogul who's breaking stories left and right, Ian Berger, Big E. Ian,
Mike,
how are you doing today?
Happy Wednesday night, my friend. We are 2 weeks and one day away from the Miami Dolphins NFL draft. So excited, brother. So
and
excited.
It can't come here soon enough because I got to be honest, I am sick of mock drafts. I'm sick of speculation. This draft needs to start. But first, before we get to that, a couple of things. First off, big shout out to all of our friends who are now listening and following us at finheaven.com. And I hope I said it right this time. I said Finhaven last time, but that was totally, I said it wrong. It's Finheaven, finheaven.com. Everyone go there, check it out. Great message board, great Miami Dolphins website. So to all of our friends over at Finheaven, thank you for watching and for listening to our show. And also to everyone who is watching us on the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page run by the great Carlos Hernandez, Ian. We love Carlos.
Known the man for about 7 years. He is the hardest worker in social media, man. He's awesome.
The best. Love Carlos. Everyone at the I Am and Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page, thank you for watching us. And one bit of housekeeping. We have a draft contest here at our website, DolphinsTalk.com, where you can win a jersey of Tua Tagovailoa. And it takes less than 1 minute to enter. There's two things you got to do. The hard part, though, I would say out of those two, which really isn't that hard, is email me who the Miami Dolphins will pick at number 6 and at number 18. Now, look, if they trade from 6 down to 7, they trade from 18 to 22, the first two picks in round 1, that's what we're going after. It doesn't have to be exactly 6, 18. The two players they'll take, and there's one other step. So the rules for the contest are up on our website, DolphinsTalk.com. A lot of people are already participating. You have to the Wednesday before the draft at 11:59 to send in your entry. But I would suggest sending it in early, get them in, and hopefully somebody's going to win a jersey of Tua Tagovailoa. And I did say if somebody already has one, we can swap it out or substitute it for another player as long as it's of equal value. So I'm going to be a nice guy when it comes to that, Ian, because that's how we are here at DolphinsTalk.com.
Awesome, man. I love this contest too, because it's right before the draft, and we're getting ready. We're getting ready for it, which is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Some news in the world of the Miami Dolphins. First thing, it came out today, actually, that it looks like things in the NFL are slowly getting back to normal, that OTAs, which will be late May or in June, will be in person, and the guys will be able to go to the facility and do those, you know, 9 or 10 days of OTAs in person. It does look like the that's the mini camps. I said that wrong. That's going to be the mini camps. Now, for the OTAs in like April, well, not April, like May and stuff, those are still going to be more virtual in nature when it comes to the meetings. But it looks like June-ish, late May, early June, things are going to be getting back to normal. And they're going to be there in person and such. Now, it is up to the club. So each club can do what they want. But I would think a lot of clubs will want to do that in person. And the other news, which broke last week after we recorded, Ian, it's kind of been underreported. Our owner is a single man. He has filed for divorce from his wife. Him and his wife had an amicable split. So Mr. Stephen Ross is single and looking to mingle, I guess, as they say on the market. So all you female fans of the Dolphins, you know, he's out there.
Well, as a certified media member, Mike, I probably will get that story eventually when it happens. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yes, we'll have the scoop. But it sounded from the report that it was amicable and such. Whatever, that stuff happens. But just and it did also say it'll have no effect on the ownership of the team, which is the most important thing. So he's gonna retain ownership. There's not gonna be an ugly thing here with the team. Excellent. First topic, Ian. there's been a lot of mock drafts out recently. And I guess the one that's making the most news was put out by Mel Kiper of ESPN. So Mel Kiper put out his mock draft on Tuesday. And guess what? I did too as well. Just happened to be by coincidence. And my mock draft was for all seven rounds of just the Miami Dolphins. Mel's was for the first two rounds of the draft. They're similar, and they're not in some ways. So I guess first things first. Ian, you've seen both. I guess let me run down both, and then you tell me which one you like better.
Yeah, of course.
And I hope you say me. I'm just kidding. my mock draft, and I'm just talking about the first two rounds. That's all that matters. The first four picks. Miami at pick number 6 takes Ja'Marr Chase. Miami at pick number 18 takes Kwity Paye. Miami at pick number 36 takes Javonte Williams. And Miami at pick number 50 takes Richie Grant, the safety out of Central Florida. Mel Kiper's was, he has Miami trading up to pick number 4 for Kyle Pitts. He has Miami taking Kwity Paye at number 18 like me. He has Miami taking Javonte Williams at pick number 36 like I do. And at pick number 50, he has them taking Jalen Mayfield, the offensive tackle from Michigan. So, Ian, which mock is more your preference, I guess?
Well, first of all, let's be realistic.
It's fun. This is fun stuff. It's
well, yeah, serious. And this is probably, we're talking about two mock drafts out of another 29 million that will be happening yes. over the next 2 weeks and one day. And there, I don't think anyone has ever gotten it right, let alone Mel Kiper Jr. And you know, I was saying that sometimes the weather meteorologists get things right more often than Mel Kiper does. And that's actually a compliment to the weather people, not a put down to the weather people, but he just, you know, yes, he goes through some strategy. This is like his time of the year. He's trying to figure out what teams' needs are, but he is never right on. You know, I think after the first two or three picks, it is going to be so different from what everyone is expecting. And I do not expect the Miami Dolphins to trade back up. That makes zero sense in my opinion. You know, if they traded down to 12 and then they came back up to 6, I don't see them going up anymore. If anything, if they find themselves in a situation where all four of those pass catchers are available, you know, Smith, Waddle, Pitts, and
Chase,
if all four of those guys are available, maybe the Dolphins go down two or three spots because they know they're going to get one of those top pass catchers. But I do not see them going back up. It just doesn't really make sense in my opinion. So I like your draft a lot better, Mike. I think it fills some needs. You know, when you picked up, you know, you picked up an edge rusher, you picked up a wide receiver, you picked up Javonte Williams, who is a great running back, and you picked up a safety. All four of those positions are positions of need that I think are very, very important that we need to start filling. Another position that I think we could look at within the top two rounds is obviously a center position. You know, Creed Humphrey, and I know we've talked about it before.
In round three.
Oh, you ended up getting him in round three. And that's the thing, too. And everybody keeps saying, all right, well, some of these running backs are not going to get picked up in the first round, even though mock drafts are really showing them high in the first round. I read an article today, actually, by Cameron Wolf, and I really respect his work.
He's the best.
And he said that running backs always tend to mock higher before the draft, and then when the draft comes around, they always slide. That's just something that's happened. And I like what his opinion has been throughout this draft process. And he's like saying, all right, if it's not one, it's the other. But I think that it's, you know, I do see a pass catcher with that first pick. I don't see us going back up. And then once we get to number 18, I don't see us taking a running back at number 18. And I know a lot of Dolphins fans are going to be mad if Najee is sitting there and we don't end up picking Najee, but I think we just have to kind of come to the understanding that they may not do what we think or what we want them to do, but I do want to see them at least pick up a running back in the second round. Etienne may drop to, you know, that 30 some odd pick that we have in the second round. He's a very talented running back. Some people actually rate him higher than Najee Harris.
I've seen him up close when he came and played up at Syracuse a couple times. He's very good. He's very good. And I would not mind having him at all. A couple things here. With the trade up, if they were to trade up to 4, once again, it all depends what compensation is. If they only have to part with like a third round pick in 2022, it's not the end of the world, I guess. It'd be okay. But it's almost like, and admission of a mistake. You know what I mean? Like, we traded down from 3 to 12 to 6. Now we still can't get the guy we want. We have to trade up again to 4. I mean, it's just a bad look more than anything. I mean, once again, it's okay if they have to do it, but it's just more of a bad look. With the running back, there was ESPN had this conversation about the Dolphins and at pick 18, if they should take a running back. They made a great point. And the point is this. If Miami only had one pick in round one, they can't take a running back. They have to go somewhere else.
Correct.
Since they have multiple picks in round one and also have multiple picks in round two, it wouldn't be the end of the world if they took a running back at pick 18, because it's not their only guy they're going to add in round one, and they have extra picks in round two. If there's one team who can maybe take a running back higher than some other teams, teams like Miami who have multiple picks, teams like the Jets, teams like the Jaguars, they could, you know, justify it. Now, Jacksonville's not in the market for a running back. Throw them out. The Jets are, though, like Miami. So if they took one at 18, I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they will, but it wouldn't stun me either, because they do have so many picks. They can say, we took one higher than, you know, we probably should have, but we still have a pick, you know, coming up at pick number 36 and a pick coming up at pick number 50. So I understand if they did, but I don't think they will. I hope they do. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think they will.
I think we'll get some reaction videos if the Dolphins end up getting Pitts, who's really seems to be the top target for many of the Dolphins fans at number 6. And then if we do end up somehow getting Najee Harris at number 18, you're going to see like pictures of Dolphins fans just salivating and so happy, because you know that we have lacked some of these top skilled players on offense. In many of our opinions, right? It might not be the opinion of Coach Flores, but in our opinions, we've lacked that. So that's a huge need for us.
If they were to get Pitts and then take Harris at 18, Chris Greer could run for mayor of Miami and win in a landslide. Like, I don't even care what party. He could be an independent. He'd get people from each side of the aisle to vote for him. Dolphins fans would be ecstatic. And, I mean, that would probably be the dream type of scenario. I kind of like Chase more than Pitts. That's just me, though. I just think – look, they're both great. There's no wrong answer. Let me just throw that out there. So don't send me your hate mails. I don't really like Chase more. They're both great. There's no wrong answer. If I just think Chase helps Miami more, and it helps Miami, I don't know. I mean, they can't go wrong.
You're right.
They really can't go wrong. Those were the two mocks. I don't know. I mean, Pitt's mock is very similar to mine. We know they need a pass rush. Kwity Paye, I think, is a perfect fit for what the Miami Dolphins do. But if they were to take the kid from Georgia, if they were to take the kid from Penn State, once again, it's fine. Again, one of those guys in that group, there's groupings of guys. Running backs, we got the big three. If we come away with one of those three, I think most fans of the Dolphins will be happy. Pass rushers, there's probably a group of like 4 or 5. If they come away with one of those guys, most fans of the Dolphins will be happy.
Yeah, and I guess it's all also going to depend on how things fall, right? Because if Micah Parsons is still sitting there at 18, the Dolphins are probably going to jump on a Micah Parsons because he's really the best linebacker in this draft right now. So even though he has some questionable other issues, you know, off the field issues, obviously, that have come up. But one thing that I'm hoping doesn't happen, and I know that James mentioned this in the chat, Coach Flores loves them cornerbacks, and I'm hoping that we do not take a cornerback, at least in the first 2 to 3 rounds. Now, if there's somebody that he loves in rounds 4 through 7, which I would obviously be announcing, that I would really love that. No, I mean, it would be good. And he likes to develop some players. So I don't see there being anything wrong with that.
Here's the thing. I think they will take, at some point in the draft, they will take at least one cornerback. Because like, we know our
one,
head coach.
One, yeah.
One. It might be round 7, but we're going to get one because our head coach loves secondary players and loves cornerbacks. Now, maybe if we take a safety like in round 2, or did something really wild and took a safety at pick number 18, maybe they won't take a cornerback later, but I think they're going to take one at some point. He just loves him too much. He does. And
true.
Yeah,
and we have Noah Igbinoghene sitting there in the, you know, getting ready to come in. And,
yeah, he needs to be better this year.
I have a feeling that, you know, this could be the last year we see Xavien Howard. If they find out that Igbinoghene is good, then you've got a less expensive player, you know, and then we'll see what happens with him. Because, you know, Xavien's still looking for more money on his contract right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully nothing happens between now and the beginning of the season that he doesn't pressure that anymore. Right. But I don't know if that will last another season. So we'll see how that goes, but it looks like we've got the player in the wings to take his
now play. He wants more money. He's made it clear.
Yep.
The Miami Dolphins know this. The Miami Dolphins took a cornerback in round one last year. Forget how he played, because after the first month, he really wasn't on the field much, so we didn't see much. Okay. If the Miami Dolphins, let's say, got offered a sweetheart trade deal for Xavien Howard, knowing we don't want to give him a raise, he's not going to be happy if he doesn't get a raise. It's a sweetheart deal, you know, maybe a first rounder, maybe a pair of seconds or a first and a second, something, whatever it is. Would you be open-minded to consider it, or are you just saying no, no chance in hell?
I would probably say no at this point. And I, you know, even if it's a sweetheart deal, and the reason I say that is he was so important to us last year. Those interceptions that he made probably won us about three or four games. And of course, it's a team sport, right? So Everybody is putting in. But I think him being part of that defense really made a difference. If he wasn't there, think of all the additional completions that could have been made and how the scores could have been very different. So I think you got to – and remember, too, he's healthy now. You know, there were a couple of seasons where he wasn't healthy, so we didn't get a chance to see good, healthy Xavien. I think there was a one season he had six interceptions about halfway through the season, then he got hurt. You know, so – we know he's going to be great, but after next year, I don't know what happens, but I don't want to see him get traded. Even if it's, they come to us and say, you know, we're going to give you two more, you know, first round picks. First of all, I don't think that's enough for what Xavien Howard brings to a team. But second of all, I'd rather keep him and see what this defense can do this season.
Yeah. I mean, they won 10 games last year and the goal is to win more games this year. If he's not on the team, it's going to be tough to win more than 10. That's the way I see it. Even if the offense takes a leap forward, there'll be more. It'll be harder to win more than 10. But again, you know, it's a tough spot the team's in. They don't want to set the precedent of having to pay the guy more after they just paid him. But they're going to have to come out with something to make everyone happy and to make everyone look like they won. So they come out happy. But we'll see how that plays out. But there's going to be some speculation. I'll say the two names. I don't think either will happen. Let me make that clear. I don't think either will happen. But I won't be stunned if after the draft is over, all 3 days, if Miami were to consider or if they do trade Howard and Parker or one or the other or both. I think Parker, he's been a lot better the past two seasons. But, man, this guy can't – it's always something, nagging injury, this, that, the other. And if they do add someone like Chase and maybe they add another wide receiver, maybe around two or three, you can make the case it's just time to split to part – company with them. I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying don't be stunned if it does happen. And with Howard, for the reasons we said, mainly financial. I mean, that if they traded him, that would free up that would solve all their salary cap problems.
True. So, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, the team
wouldn't stun me. I don't think it's going to happen, but it wouldn't stun me. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Next topic. Okay, we've been spending so much time talking about rounds one and two. You know, what are they going to do? And we know what the needs are. Wide receiver, pass rusher, running back, and sort of center. How about the rest of the draft? We got picks like in other rounds too. So outside of those need areas, when we get to the middle of the draft, and look, what they have now in picks, they're going to make trades and trade up, trade down, all this stuff. What are – name one or maybe two positions outside of our big needs that you would like to see Miami sort of, you know, invest in with the – middle to late rounds of this draft, Ian?
Well, I think it's all going to depend on how they draft the first two rounds, right? So if they go, which I think they will, wide receiver or tight end, edge rusher or linebacker, whatever that looks like, running back in the first pick in the second round, and then center, I think, in the bottom part of the second round, those are the biggest needs. Yeah. And I think if they go that route, then you look at what's left, right? Well, now they still need to pick up a safety. They still need to pick up a linebacker, you know, offensive linemen. If you can find them in the third, fourth, fifth round, why not go after that type of role? Yeah. Right.
Especially maybe like an offensive, a right tackle or a left tackle in particular, because Hunt, we're still unsure about. Jesse Davis, he's fine, but sort of is what he is. And a little bit of depth there would be nice.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's all going to, so again, it's all going to depend on what they do the first two rounds. I'm at the spot right now where I don't think we have too many holes, and I think we can fill the majority of those holes in the first two rounds, and whatever's left, whatever those needs are after that, rounds 3 through 7. And that's how we look at it. And I'm hoping, you know, I've seen some where we've got some linebackers where we maybe even pick up another wide receiver a little bit later on. You know, there's some wide receivers that they're predicting could fall. So if we end up taking Pitts with our first pick, you could pick up a wide receiver in the third or fourth round, and still have some success with those. So, but then as you get deeper too, then you start wondering, are these guys going to really be able to participate? Are they actually going to make it to the field? Now, you just never know, right? We've got, what do we get? We got our placeholder for the punter. What is it? Blake Ferguson. You know, we got him, I think, in the sixth or seventh round, yeah. Right? Long snapper. So you've got somebody who is taking the field, who is playing every single game. And then our running back, not Salvin Ahmed, Miles Gaskin, he was a seventh round draft pick, you know, and he's played. So really my point being, I want to see guys that are actually going to make it to the field. And I don't care what position that is, as long as they pick a good player that will make the field and that will make that final 53-man roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one position that, you know, nobody's really, you know, spoken about that I think they should draft someone. And once again, I'm talking middle to late rounds, not talking early, quarterback. And I don't mean to replace Tua. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying replace Tua. This is so we don't have to go out there like an overpay or just pay a Jacoby Brissett in years to come. Get a younger guy to develop. In round four, let's say, there's a Mond from Texas A&M, or there's a Trask from Florida. I've seen some mocks where he's like around 3 or 2, which is a little too high, I think. But if he's there like around, you know, 4, which I don't think we have a pick around 4, but they can make a trade. If they were to get somebody like that, you know, it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. Get a younger guy, develop him, so we have maybe a stable number 2 in 2022 or 2023 such. That would not be the worst idea in the world if they were to get a quarterback in the middle to later rounds. And offensive tackle, like you said, is a need. I think safety's a need. This is a deep draft at safety. If they don't want to go one in round 2, like I did in my mock, round 3, there's going to be a bunch that are very good guys. This is a deep safety draft. So those are the spots I think they should focus on mid round of this draft.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, Chris Sims did mention that Mond is good or as better as the number one draft pick in the draft, Trevor Lawrence. So just
That's crazy.
Thank you, James, for that. Yeah, that was fun watching.
That's
that
insane. One. Yeah, he also had the wide receiver from North Carolina as like the second best wide receiver in this draft.
Yeah. Okay,
Brown, which once again, he's not a bad player. He probably will go like in round number 2, but to say he's better than guys like Smith or Waddle is just crazy talk. It's just not realistic, and it won't happen. So
here's a good question, Mike, and it just came up. Do we have room for a third quarterback on the roster? We probably have to go later round on that. And I think what, and that's probably more also of your training camp roster, right? And then your practice squad.
They keep expanding the roster sizes, so that helps these days with that. And exactly. you can add them to the roster and just not have them be active on Sundays for the game. And yeah, I think if they got someone that they really like, they could absolutely make that work. They could absolutely make that work.
Yeah. And you know, I think what everybody's looking for too, and I love to pick up later round quarterbacks because you just never know when there's going to be that diamond in the rough. I mean, if you would have said Tom Brady in the fifth round was going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback when he was picked, you would have been lying because nobody expected that from Tom Brady. You know, and the only reason why he got to play was because Drew Bledsoe got hurt and then he came in and then the rest is history, you know, and he's had a storybook career and he's still playing. Exactly. But that's why I like to pick up quarterbacks later on, because you just never know when that person is going to end up being, you know, as good or, you know, or at least at a good level.
It's the most important position in all of sports.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And Ron Wolf used to run the Packers for many, many years, said, you take one in every draft. It doesn't have to be rounds 1 or 2, but you take at least one in every draft because you got to have a pipeline and you got to have some younger guys to see if you hit the jackpot. It's like just buying a scratch off lottery tickets. If you hit the jackpot at quarterback, you have multiple quarterbacks. You can trade one for a first or second round pick, or you got your guy who's a superstar of the future. It's just at some point in the middle to later rounds, Miami's at the point now. They got their quarterback of the future. He's the guy, at least for 2022, Tua Tagovailoa. We get that. But get a younger guy. Get him in the pipeline. Let him learn the offense. So maybe in a year or so, he's your number two. Maybe he can, at a certain point, you have to make a tough call, which is what they want to do. They want to make a tough call. Who's better? Does he have value as our number two, or can we get something for him in a trade? So that's the logic behind it. And I think they should do it this year.
Makes sense. Yeah, no, it makes sense.
All right, Ian, it's that time of the show again.
Oh, no, not that time of the show, Mike. Not that time of the show, Mike.
Time to talk about our friends at manscaped.com. And everyone, if you go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Dolphins Talk, you will save 20% and get free shipping. Because you know, Ian, flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to mow your lawn. Thanks to our sponsor, Manscaped, you can trim the hedges below the belt safely and efficiently. I am talking about ball trimmers. Yes, ball trimmers. Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, has an exclusive offer for our audience. Once again, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, and you will save 20% on your order and get free shipping. I don't care if your order's only $2 or $3. You will save 20% and get free shipping. If you buy a larger order and get all the great Manscaped products, $40, $50, $60, still 20% off with free shipping with the promo code Dolphins, with the promo code Dolphins Talk. Now, we're not done.
Oh, no.
Okay. I got to keep going.
I'm
okay. Inside the perfect package. Now, the perfect package is a kit with a lot of their products. Inside the perfect package, you will also find the Manscaped Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. Yes, moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and it's crucial so your balls stop sticking to your leg. And also, for a treat, you'll find a Crop Reviver, which will keep your balls smelling fresh, just like spring flowers. So everyone, go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code Dolphins Talk. Get the perfect package. Men, especially if you're down in Florida when it's really hot, you need the perfect package. You need the Crop Reviver. You need the Crop Preserver. So use the promo code Dolphins Talk. Save 20% and get free shipping. Everyone, I'm not talking more about the moisturizer. Everyone, go to manscaped.com.
Okay.
Ian, are your parents watching this evening?
They said they were going to.
Hello. Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Berger.
Mom and Dad. I have my ball preserver right here.
There you go. Ian, he's not just a Manscaped. He's not just a whatever. He's also
crying. I got tears. I'm sorry. Okay. I got tears.
Now we're going to have some more fun because here's the deal. We've been talking about the draft for months and we're just a few weeks away. And I got to be honest, I cannot speculate anymore on what they're going to do with pick six, what they're going to do with pick 18. I'm just draft talked out and I'm not going to go over, you know, which guy has the better three cone drill time. It just becomes tedious. It's become tedious and it'll happen the draft, but we're going to have some fun. So it came out this week, Ian, that the actor and the comedian Kevin James will be playing Sean Payton, head coach of the Saints, in a Netflix movie about the time when he was suspended from the league for a year and he was the head coach of his son's team, I guess, of, you know, 9-year-olds or 10-year-olds. And that's going to be the centerpiece of the movie. And Kevin James is going to be playing Sean Payton, which gave me the idea. If they made a movie about the Miami Dolphins, who would play Brian Flores, who would play Chris Greer, who would play Dan Marino, and who would play Mr. Stephen Ross? So we're going to have a little fun here and pretend like we're Hollywood moguls casting a movie. Now, Ian, if we're going to pretend like we're in Hollywood casting a movie, we have to look like we're Hollywood moguls. So 1 second, please.
Oh, no.
If we're Hollywood moguls,
hold on.
You have to put on shades. Because you got to look like you're in Hollywood.
Got my
and you also
hair.
Need bling, right? You got to have bling when you're in Hollywood. I got some bling. Here's my bling.
Nice. Very nice. You mogul. You're
my
mogul.
Bling chain.
Your Dolphins so, chain.
Miami Dolphins bling. Got my sunglasses it. On. Nice. We are in Hollywood. and we're casting a movie. So
with my ball preserver.
With your ball preserver from manscaped.com, promo code Dolphins Talk. So, Ian, who are you going to cast as head coach Brian Flores? I have a couple names. One I love and one is my number two.
Who's I can't see with my glasses on, but hold on, let me see. Hold on. All right. So I did originally say Denzel Washington, I thought, but then I got a little slack on that earlier today because they're like, too tall. Yeah. Denzel's too, well, not too tall, but he's too old. He's too old to play Coach Flores.
Yeah.
So I had two options here. One is probably more popular. So I said either Will Smith, you know, because Will Smith, because, you know, Coach Flores is Will Smith. Then the other one is Isaiah Mustafa. Do you know who Isaiah Mustafa is?
Yes, I do.
He is the Old Spice guy.
Yes.
And I think he's built. He's ready to go. And, you know, I was going to say, and I see an Italian Finn fan, our friend, said Terry Crews for Brian Flores. But, you know, Terry Crews, his muscles, he can't even, like, move his arm sometime, you know, because he's just so big. So I don't know. But who did you pick, Mike?
Okay, I have two. I have my first choice would be Tay Diggs. Tay Diggs, if you put up a picture of him right next to Brian Flores, their faces are very similar, and he's got that look of Flores. I might have to, you know, hit the gym a little bit to get those arms pumped up, but very similar to Brian Flores. And my number two, if you're going to go with a different spin on this, maybe someone who's more known to be a funny person, but now would play in a more serious role, Kevin Hart.
Ah, love Kevin Hart. I mean, the only thing with Kevin Hart is he's about the size of Jakeem Grant. He's a really small guy.
Hollywood magic will give him shoes with lift. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We're Hollywood moguls, Ian. We can figure this stuff out.
Okay. All right. We got technology. We got technology.
For Chris Greer, I'm going to go first on this one.
You go first this time.
I got two names, and I can go with either one. Name number one, Jamie Foxx.
Ooh, I thought about Jamie Foxx. That is actually not a bad choice.
Jamie Foxx for Chris Greer. And if he, let's say, passes on the role, our next choice is going to be Anthony Anderson.
Anthony Anderson, yeah. I like Anthony Anderson a lot.
I think those two for Chris Greer would be perfect.
I went in a little bit of a different direction with you. And I went Samuel L. Effing Jackson. Because I think Samuel L. Jackson can take the spot of Chris Greer, although Samuel L. Jackson will have to play a more quieter role than what he's used to playing on the big screen. But because, you know, Chris is a little bit withdrawn. He's a little quiet. He only tells you what he wants to tell you.
You have to stretch as an actor.
Correct. But you know what? That's why they're actors, right?
That's why they're actors.
They come to play.
And we're going to pay him a lot of money so he can stretch. He'll be fine. The next, come on, Carlos. So the next one would be Dan Marino. And here's the first one I'll say. Dan Marino plays Dan Marino because he's Dan frickin' Marino.
Correct.
But I do have a backup.
Okay.
My backup is this, and I think he'd be perfect for the part. Mark Consuelos, Mr. whose wife is on this show there in the morning there. What's her name? Mark Consuelos was married to Kelly Ripa. Mr. Kelly Ripa.
Oh,
Mark Consuelos, handsome guy, about the same age now probably as Mr. Marino. So that would, but if it's Dan Marino, it's got to be Dan Marino. He's playing himself. And he has experience as an actor.
Yeah. Right? I got a little bit different and you may be surprised. And you may actually say, why didn't I pick this one?
Yeah, who's that?
Bradley Cooper. Think about
Bradley
it for a
Cooper
second.
Works.
Bradley Cooper, Bradley blue Cooper. Eyes, right? He's got the Bradley good Cooper. Looks. He's, yeah.
Bradley Cooper, that works. That's a good one. Now, for the owner, Mr. Stephen Ross.
Oh, I got a good one, too.
I got two good ones, I think. You go first.
I went Tommy Lee Jones, man. I thought Tommy Lee Jones would make a perfect for Stephen Ross. Remember, too, if you haven't seen him in a long time, he has aged a lot in the last 10, 15 years. And I mean, Stephen Ross, what is he, in his 80s at this point?
I think.
He's 83. So,
something like that.
So Stephen Ross, you know, Tommy Lee Jones matches kind of that aged look right now. And I think he'd be perfect in that role.
Here are my two choices. Number one, Anthony Hopkins for Mr. Stephen Ross. I think Anthony Hopkins He's roughly around that same age as well. I think he'd be a good one. The second one, I think he actually might, with a little bit of makeup, would nail the look perfect. Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Clint Eastwood, right. I think, because he's very slim like Mr. I think those two, I think, would be pretty good for Mr. Ross. But I think we're going to, you know, it's going to be a big, I mean, if we're getting these names, it's going to be a high budget film.
Yeah, and Italian Fin Fan said Dole Hill for Chris Greer, and I don't if you ever watched the show Ballers, Dole yes. Hill, he was the general manager in Ballers.
Oh, that's who Dolphins. That is. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yes. He'd be good. I could see that. Yeah, I didn't know who that was. I used to love the show Ballers. Now I got to take these off because I can't see. And I probably will take off my bling as well. Okay. Like the bling though, huh? It's awesome. Look at this bling. Kind of look like
I just
Hollywood
couldn't believe I had a pair of sunglasses sitting right here next to my computer. They were ready.
Real quick.
All right. So who do we got left?
We're upping our show with props. No, now we have to do the name game real quick.
Hold on. Because yes. I have one more surprise.
What's your surprise?
I wanted to cast Tua.
Oh, who's going to play Tua Tagovailoa? I didn't even think about that.
Hold on. I think I'm going to make this work. Hold on.
Do that because I have to get these names in here for the for the name game.
Do you see him?
Well, now one second. I'm doing like three things at once now. I know this is.
Rock.
Yeah. You have to slim down a little bit.
In my mind, that is Tua right there, man. That is Tua. He's going to be played by The Rock. So anyway, that was good.
Yeah, he'd have to slim down some. But I mean, if we're going to spend all this money on a movie, we might as well get The Rock in there.
We might as well bring them all in, man. This is going to be a star-studded event.
Yeah. All right, so time for the name game. As most of you know, Ian Berger will be announcing picks rounds 4 through 7 for the Miami Dolphins here in a couple weeks at the draft. And we have to get Ian ready. For those of you who have been listening to our recent shows the past 2 weeks, we do this not to make fun of names, but we do this to prepare Ian because, you know, if Ian gets a first name like Phil Jones, Jeff Hart, Tom Smith, Ian's going to be golden. But we know some of these players have more unique names that are sometimes trickier to pronounce. So we have to get Ian ready. And I got four more names. This is going to be the last week of this, too, because I can't find more names after this.
Okay.
But four more names here that we're going to go through. And I'm going to upload all four real quick here. So if you want
to. No problem. And I'm going to remind our audience that is watching to, you know, to rate me, 10 being the best, 1 being the lowest, be as critical as you want. I promise I will make fun of you for making fun of me, so we'll be good. It'll be fun. This is all about having some fun, but it's also about getting me prepared. I remember the gentleman with the last name Bebe, or the first name Bebe, right? So I'll remember that guy when I see his name.
That was the last name because his first name was actually Josh. Josh.
Right.
I went to Bebe, wide receiver from the Lions.
Yep. So I remember that one now.
All right. So we're going to start off with this one.
Hold on. You want me to say it?
Yeah, you go, and I will throw it up on the screen.
In the 2021 NFL drafts, with the 151st pick, the Miami Dolphins select Marlon Tuipulotu, defensive tackle, University of Southern California.
Tuipulotu. You nailed it. 100% spot on. That's a 10. That is a 10 right there.
Thank you. 1 to 10. 1 to 10. Joy gave me a 9. Thank you, Joy.
Now, I think the next three are going to be a little bit trickier.
Okay.
All right.
Ready? Go ahead. With the 250th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select Israel Makuamu, cornerback out of South Carolina.
No. You got the first name right.
Israel.
Yeah,
that's easy.
Yeah. Mukamu. Just Mukamu.
Really?
That's it.
Mukamu. All right. That's so it. The U is silent in the last name. All right.
So that was a little bit trickier, and I think these next two are going to be like that too. But yeah, that's why we're doing this, folks.
Mark gave me a 6. He was honest about that. Even though Jeff gave me an 8 on that one, it was for the effort. He gave me an 8 for an effort. Kevin gave me a 9 too, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Ready?
Here's the third one. Tell me when you're ready.
With the 270th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select Tamadayu Deo Odiyangbo, defensive end, Vanderbilt.
Okay, so he only goes by his nickname. So Gayo? I have no clue about the first name, so I'm going to say that's right. The okay. last name is said Odigizuwa.
I'm sorry, what?
No, I'm sorry. D-O-Odengbo.
D-O-Odengbo?
Yep.
That one is going to be the hardest one if I if I get that. D-O-Odengbo.
Yep, that's how it's set. So hold on, I can put the...
And Lewis Riddick said he's a sleeper.
Yeah, here's a... Let me see. I can. This is the... hold on. Hide this one. Oh, hold on. Dio Odengbo.
Odengbo. And that's the whole name?
That's just the last name.
Oh, that's just... Okay. Dio...
So for the first name, you could probably just use like the nickname Gayo. He had. Yeah. And you're fine there.
Odengbo.
Dio Odengbo. So that's the... that's that one. So...
Hold on. I just saw this. It's hilarious. I'll give you 8 just for the brain strain right there.
That's true. And that's why great. We're doing this. So here's the last one.
They better have that iteration. Oh,
they have to.
Yeah.
There's got to be a guy there who just, that's his one job. There has
right.
to be.
Right.
Especially now with people, you know, like fans like you who aren't used to this, they're going to have it. And I'm sure they're probably going to say it with you once as well. And then say, okay, now head out there. You know what I mean? It's like, good luck, kid. Pat you on the back. Okay, I got one more. Let's go.
All right. So with the 270th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select Osa Odigizuwa, defensive tackle, UCLA.
Osa Odigizuwa.
Odigizuwa. Oh, so I said Odigizuwa. It's Odigizuwa.
Odigizuwa. Here, I could put that. Right,
that wasn't bad. Joy, she was cheering me on and she gave me a 10. Look at that. Thank you. Thank you. And Ines gave me an 8, and I probably mispronounced
Odigizuwa.
Odigizuwa.
So, awesome. Yeah. So, but over the course of the past 3 weeks, you've done well above average.
Thank you.
Solid B plus to A minus range.
All it takes is one screw up for me, and I'll be beating myself up on this.
Viral.
Stage.
I'll be viral.
I'd be beating myself up because a poor kid who's worked his way up to the NFL status, you know.
I know, but I do think you're going to be fine because, like we've said, there's going to be somebody there, number one, and they're going to go over it with you. And plus, most of the names you've gotten dead on right. Most of them you have. So I think you're going to be okay, and we're all going to be rooting you on, watching for you there. And it's Saturday. Yes, because it's Saturday.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get to see Big E on like the NFL Network and ESPN. And I'll be taking screenshots and sending it to you. And I'll be shooting the video on my phone and sending it to you.
That's going to be awesome.
That's going to be awesome. Such a great honor. And the sort of last thing of, I would guess it's got to be like the last thing of your year-round fan of the year. I mean, I don't know what else is left at this point. Super Bowl, this, NFL Network, you know, you've got it all.
Well, the only other thing that I'm thinking could potentially happen is they could recognize me during a game and they could have me come down on the field for recognition.
Next year they could do that for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, they never, because when I was selected as the finalist of the final three, that was after the season was already over. So that's really the only thing, unless there's more. If there's more, I mean, I'm already beyond shocked at the moment based on what I'm doing. So
it's been a hell of a year. Now we close out this podcast. We have to stop the fun and games a little bit here and talk about a serious matter. For those of you who follow us on Twitter or who just are on Twitter in general and follow the Miami Dolphins on Twitter, you probably saw the news from over the weekend that broke on Friday evening that Brian Byrne passed away. And I know for those of you who aren't on Twitter, you might be like, well, who's that? I don't know. He was a very active member and a diehard fan of the Miami Dolphins, who was very active on Twitter with thousands and thousands of fans of the Miami Dolphins. And it was such a sad story. So young, only 43 years old, has a wife, has a young child. I don't even know how old the child was, but I would say she's probably under 3, very young. And, you know, heartbreaking story. Ian, you want to share some thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it is truly heartbreaking. And when I saw the news and I got it in a DM chat before it was released to everyone else, and I couldn't believe it. And I kind of wish that I had an opportunity to chat with him, you know, a little bit before. You know, the last time him and I had spoken was was probably 3 months ago. We actually spoke over the phone about some stuff that was going on, but you know, I had a true pleasure of meeting Brian early last year. He was developing his website. He was developing his podcast. He had me come on. You know, he did some stuff with me with the draft. He sent a tape of his family as they were singing the Miami Dolphins fight song. I included him in, you know, a couple other videos that I did. So, you know, the man, he felt like, and it's interesting how Twitter works, and it's interesting how social media works, that I never met him in person, but I felt like I was his friend. And I felt like I knew him and I knew about him, what was going on with him. And I really appreciated him trying to cheer up everyone every single day with his dad joke of the day. And I probably did three or four of the dad joke of the days for him, because, you know, he just loved that, and he loved having guests do that. So, you know, obviously my thoughts and prayers go to him and his family, his wife and his, you know, little girl that he was preparing her for, you know, to be a huge Miami Dolphins fan. So, I will say one last thing, that I know that a lot of other Dolphins fans, they feel the same way about him. You know, they feel like they never met him, but he had an impact in their life, and it was a positive impact in their life. And, you know, and I think how it's amazing how this little social media platform that we all spend, you know, time during the day, time during the weekend, that we can really become so close to other humans, regardless of the fact that we don't see them in person, or regardless of the fact that, you know, we don't talk to them over the phone every day. And I think, you know, I think it just reminds us how important our lives are, and that we've got to make sure that we, you know, we hug our family members and we say that we care about each other more often. So I'll close just by saying that I'll miss the guy. He had a positive impact on me.
Yeah. And there is a GoFundMe page out there, which is raising a little money to help out the family, and maybe put together a little bit of a college fund there for his young child. So I know it's up on Ian's social media page at Ian693. I have it up on mine, and I will send out a new retweet of that. So if anybody wants to give a few bucks, by all means, it will go to a worthy family here to help out the family in these tough times. And Ian, we've been saying this the past few weeks when we spoke about the Dolphins Challenge Cancer event, which I know you did last weekend. There's people in this world with real problems who have real issues. We can sit here on shows like this and talk on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, and, you know, argue and fight over what the Miami Dolphins should do with pick six. Should they slide up to pick four? Should they take Pitts? Should they take Chase?
It means nothing
in the big picture of life. Yeah. People get dealt a crappy hand sometimes, and that's the real issues. That's the real problems. And when you see something like this, it does put everything else into perspective, because this really did come out of left field. He was only 43 years old, very young, far too young. And yeah, very sad. So if anybody can give a few bucks, we'll put out the links there to the GoFundMe page to help out the family. And I know I see here from Carlos as well, saying on the Facebook page, we can put it up there, and I will after the show, Carlos, so people there can see it. And they can help out. And I guess we should close with, you were at the event there last Saturday with your walk. How did the event go? I saw you got a picture there with head coach Brian Flores and such. How was the event?
It was amazing. I mean, they raised $5.7 million for the Sylvester Cancer Center up to that point. When you think about, you know, walks and how they help people, this should definitely be able to help, you know, develop some ways to prevent or to treat cancer. So I was really, really excited to be part of it. I was walking, and some of you may know Robert Horvitz. He's a Miami Dolphins ticket representative. Yep. Nice him time. And I have stayed Super in nice contact. Time. I've met him a couple times in person, two or three times, but he walked with me the full 3.1 miles. And when you're sitting there talking Miami Dolphins
for
1 hour, you have no idea where the time went. And it was truly fantastic. And I just, again, can't thank everyone enough for donating and supporting me for this. And I just felt so good when I passed that finish line to know that I did that. And I did it for not just my mom, but for everyone else who has had some sort of effect because of cancer. And I'll tell you, the players, the coaches that were there too, they were so gracious in saying hello to people and taking pictures. Coach Flores, first of all, if you're not a Miami Dolphins fan and you saw Coach Flores, you wouldn't have known who he was, because he was just kind of hanging in there and he was just kind of like mixing with the crowd. You know, I walked by, he had his face mask on when I first saw him, and all I saw was his eyes. And I'm like, I know that's Coach Flores. And Robert Horvich came back and said, yeah, that is Coach Flores. So I went over to the coach and I was like, do you mind if I take a picture? And he's like, no, absolutely not. And I said, do you mind if I take my mask off? You know, we're outdoors. Yeah. I've got the vaccination. He's like, no. And he took his mask off as well. And he took the picture. And I said, listen, coach, I just want to let you know that I appreciate what you're doing. I think you're doing an amazing job. Keep going, man. Keep it up. He's like, thank you so much. And that was it. That was it. And then some of the other players allowed me to also, you know, fist bump them or take pictures. Raekwon Davis.
Raekwon Davis is amazing.
Yep.
And I
made a mistake, but I also got a picture with Jesse Davis. When you want to talk big boy, when you see Jesse Davis yeah, walking, you guy. Just automatically know that guy is a football player and he is an offensive lineman because he is ginormous.
He's big like, guy.
And we were standing up next to each other in that picture that we took. And I was like, dude, man. And he was dripping down in sweat, and I didn't sweat at all. And I walked at a steady pace,
oh, yeah,
but I'm like thinking to myself, he's probably taking in about 5,000 or 6,000 calories each day so he can, you know, build the muscles on his body. But it was honestly an amazing event. And then I saw all these fans. I saw, you know, we got the Positive Porpoise, who is a group that raised over $50,000 for the walk. They had a huge group of people. I got a chance to really talk to Allie, who's doll freaky. She was there. Her height versus my height, she's like, I would say she's 5'2" and maybe a little bit more. And I'm 6'6". And she was like, you're huge. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And, you know, but it was the first time we actually had an opportunity to interact together. So it was just nice. I'm really looking forward to 2 weeks from tomorrow night when we have the draft party in Miami, get a chance to see more Dolphins fans that I haven't met before. And also just have a good time, man. It's time for us to be able to go to Hard Rock and have a good time again. So I'm looking forward to that.
And that should be a fun party because, guys, as we keep saying, when it comes, whoever they take at pick number 6, there's no bad pick. So don't be mad. Everyone's got their favorites. I get it. But the team has done countless hours of homework, far more than anyone on social media altogether has. They know what they're doing. There's no bad pick. Pick 18, if you want to whine a little bit, I'll let you whine a little bit. But pick number 6, there's no complaining because they can't screw that up. Even they can't screw it up. So yeah, right. Everyone will have fun at the draft party. That's it for this week's show. Everyone, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Ian693 or follow myself at Dolphins Talk. Once again, Manscaped, promo code Dolphins Talk, save 20%, get free shipping. Go to the website.
Ball deodorant.
Everyone, go to the website, dolphinstalk.com, for all the new videos, articles, mock drafts, podcasts. We got it all. We got you covered in the lead up to the 2021 NFL Draft. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page. Go to YouTube, search Dolphins Talk, follow us, subscribe to our page. So when new videos, we just put up a 2020 Xavien Howard highlight video. Check that out. We got a ton of new content coming to YouTube. And I have one more show coming up with Dante Colonnelli for the part 4 of our draft preview show. Probably early next week or so, as we break down the last couple positions of the 2021 NFL draft. And that's all I got. Ian, anything you want to add here in closing?
No, from your favorite media member, I just want to say fins up, everybody.
That's such an inside joke. Probably 90% of our listeners don't even get it. We're not going to explain it. So Everyone, have a great rest of your Wednesday. Have a great Thursday. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.